All right, welcome in everybody to the Go 24/7 podcast. I am Glenn West, your senior writer here at the site. LSU has reintroduced Will Wade as the next men's basketball coach, and we're going to break it all down. We're going to break it down how all this came to fruition, the decision, the most recent press conference from Will Wade, his early thoughts on just how he's going to come back here and rebuild this program into a consistent winner, which is where he kind of left it at, I guess you could say, 4 years ago, and how he's going to try to make history here in Baton Rouge one way or another. So we're going to break all this down for you here over the next 20, 25 minutes or so. But before we get into all that, I would really appreciate it if you guys, you know, for watching on YouTube, please give us a like and a subscription over there. Just leave comments, whatever you feel like you need to do. Always helps us out. And then certainly on Spotify, on Apple, if you're listening on any platform for this, you know, just make sure you're giving us a subscription and a like over there as well. So with that being said, you know, Will Wade is back. You know, the general is back addressing his troops here over the last couple days, and we're about now exactly 1 week away from the transfer portal opening. And so a lot to do here over the next week for LSU in terms of building out this this roster and certainly the coaching staff. But just wanted to first by start off by saying, like, just you know, how we got here, how we got to this point. And, you know, really, this is something that I think goes back really, you know, over a year now. I mean, this was a decision that was made. LSU really wanted to set this in motion almost a year ago at this time. You know, there were big time decision makers who wanted to try to get this done. Of course, you know, Governor Jeff Landry was involved in that process. You know, Lee Mallett, who was at that time a Board of Supervisors member and is now the Board of Supervisors chair, head chairman. And, you know, I think those were kind of the guys spearheading this thing a year ago. Didn't really work at the time. You know, former athletic director Scott Woodward pretty much nixed that. But as you saw here over the last 6 months, a lot has changed. More than 6 months. But, you know, kind of the first step, I think, for this really kind of having some legs was, you know, Dr. Wade Roos being announced as the president. Of course, Dr. Roos was the president at McNeese State while Will Wade was there for that 2 year stretch that he was in McNeese and in Lake Charles. That was kind of the first step to this process. And from there, you know, I think once LSU made the decision to really rapidly change the future of its athletics department and certainly of its football program by firing Brian Kelly, you know, Scott Woodward was, you know, they decided to part ways with Scott Woodward about a week or two later. And that, that decision was made, and, you know, LSU really moved quickly to, not only bring Virg Osbury in as athletic director, and they promoted him, but they also decided to, elevate Lee Mallett to the head chair. He's the lead chairman now, the Board of Supervisors, and very wealthy businessman out in the Southwest Louisiana area, very close with Will Wade, somebody that built a really strong relationship again while they were in Lake Charles. And so that was a kind of the second step to all this. And then, you know, I think probably the most recent step, and, you know, kind of just how maybe this really got some sea legs underneath it, was, you know, Heath Schroyer, the athletic director from McNeese. He was the guy that, you know, was very close with Wade. He hired Wade at McNeese. He gave him a second chance as a coach, really believed in him from the start. And, you know, I think that relationship was crucial to getting this done and to getting to where we're sitting today. LSU really kind of made that push for Heath Schroyer a couple weeks ago now. I mean, that's when you first started to hear some buzz about it. And then it was made official early last week, almost, I think, about a week ago at this time. And from there, I mean, LSU moved very quickly on this. When NC State season ended, there was certainly some rumblings about, you know, LSU trying to see what they could work out, what they could manage in terms of bringing Will Wade back to the program. But at the end of the day, this was also going to be a decision that was made by Will Wade. I mean, these guys, with all the alignment that was in place and all of the backing that Will Wade is certainly going to have here now that he's back at LSU, is all set in motion here over the last year or so. It still had to come down to whether or not Wade wanted to leave Raleigh, North Carolina after a year. And, you know, that was a decision that he ultimately thought was best for him and best for his family. And he's somebody that, you know, I think over his time in Louisiana and at LSU really came to appreciate, you know, those first 5 years that he was at LSU, and then certainly the two that he was at McNeese. Just the culture around here, the buy-in of the fan base, just how many friends that he made, I guess, while he was here during those first couple stints with LSU and McNeese. And so I think it really just boiled down to him wanting to come back to a place that he called home. And, you know, he mentioned this in his press conference, which we'll get to in a minute, but just how I think one of the broad characteristics is that he's not from Louisiana. He was not born in Louisiana, but he found a home in Louisiana. And, you know, those 5 years that he spent at LSU, a lot of the time where there was, you know, that cloud hanging over the program, and the fan base really stuck by him, and they had his back. And I think that's something that he really alluded to here in his press conference. He said he's never really felt connected to a fan base and with people like he was at LSU. He feels like he left, you know, a little bit of a book open here in terms of just some chapters left that, you know, he wasn't able to finish, you know, for the first time he was here. And a lot of that, you know, had to do with, you know, some of the obviously the decision that LSU had to make 4 years ago and letting him go because of the recruiting violations and the NCAA investigation, the FBI wiretap investigation, all that stuff. But through all of that, like I said, the fan base really stuck by him, and that's something that he never really forgot. And, you know, even in that year that he was away from basketball, you know, there was a lot of support for him and a lot of support in this area, in this region, for him to eventually get back into coaching. And like we mentioned, he's Schroyer's the guy that gave him that opportunity at McNeese. And so all those stars aligning here got us to the day that we had on Monday, which was, you know, very much a rallying of the troops kind of press conference. It was, you know, a very, you know, flamboyant and enthusiastic Will Wade. I think I described it on a couple different radio, you know, radio hits from last week as, you know, it was about as Will Wade-y as Will Wade can get. You know, he threw some of his, you know, jabs in there at himself in terms of, you know, making history one way or another, whether it's hanging banners and championships or being the first coach to be fired from the same school twice. That's kind of the two, I guess, extremes here. I think probably what I see here is probably somewhere in the middle of just, you know, having some consistent success, at least to start. Of course, you want to, you know, try to, you know, build teams and build consistency and teams that obviously can continue to get into the NCAA tournament and just give yourselves more cracks at the apple, bites at the apple. You know, he's said that many times, even going back to his first, you know, several years at LSU. Like, you know, there's always going to be a team there that maybe breaks through and gets into a second weekend, maybe gets into a third weekend, and you just don't know when that's going to be. But if you build consistent winning and you build consistent success in the tournament, if you give yourself enough times and enough opportunities there, you're going to break through once, or, you know, break through eventually. And I think that's kind of the goal here and the hope. And I think that's kind of the message that he wanted to deliver here to the fan base, is that, you know, they're here to win. They're here to win consistently. They're here to build this thing quickly. I think, you know, when the portal opens on April 7th, it's going to be a player grab here. I mean, there's going to be tons of movement very, very quickly. I think over the next several days, we'll start to hear kind of maybe what he's thinking in terms of his staff and just guys that he's going to bring in to help, you know, certainly in the immediate, but also in the long term of being on his staff. You know, we've obviously seen the reports out there that Johnny Jones is a name that's been thrown around as a potential assistant coach on his staff. I think there's some legs on that, and we'll see kind of, you know, what they ultimately decide and if that gets over the hump. But I think he's certainly somebody to watch in all this. But I think this is going to be something that LSU is going to, you know, they're going to get the main guys that they need here to help Wade in terms of his roster's additions and what he needs to do to build this first year's roster. And then they'll pretty much move from there in terms of just, you know, adding more staff members and filling out the rest of the support personnel staff and all that. But you know, Greg Golden's a guy that followed him from LSU to McNeese to NC State. He's back now at LSU. He's kind of Will Wade's strength and conditioning guy. They've been working together for several years now. Reed Vial, who, of course, played for Wade during the first stint at LSU, has kind of been his right-hand man, I think, for several years now as well, you know, going back to McNeese and then NC State, and now he's back to where he played his college ball and back with his former coach back in Baton Rouge as well. I think you can certainly expect him to be right there next to Will Wade and building this thing up. And so those are just a couple of the names that we've heard that could be back and will be back with the program. And so, you know, that certainly turns your attention to next year's roster. And, you know, I think probably for me, you know, this is going to be a pretty massive overhaul. I wouldn't say it's going to be a complete overhaul. Like, I do think there's an opportunity here for Will Wade to maybe convince a couple of these guys that were on the roster last year, guys that he thinks can have roles on this team in year one to come back. He said in his press conference here on Monday that he's already met with about five or six different players from this current roster and kind of talked about what the plan would be for them and just kind of how they could fit into this first year. And I think those conversations are going to continue here over the next several days. One name that I think you want to keep an eye on in terms of, you know, returning players and guys that could be back is guard Jalen Reese, the freshman guard. He and Wade's father, or no, I should say Wade and Reese's father have a little bit of a connection in terms of going back to the high school recruiting days with Emmett Williams, who's who Reese's father coached at Oak Ridge there in Florida. Emmett Williams was, of course, you know, one of the first five-star players that Will Wade signed at LSU almost 8 or 9 years ago now. So they have a pretty a connection there between Reese's father and Will Wade. And so I think those conversations are still ongoing. And I think there's an opportunity here that Reese can have to come back and contribute to this team in a major way next year. I think you saw some really nice strides from him. Despite LSU not having the season that they wanted to in conference play, you saw him get more comfortable with the opportunities that he was given. I mean, by the end of the season, he was playing 36, 37 minutes a night, if not more. And so that's a lot of built-up experience in the SEC now that he has under his belt, and I think would be a welcomed addition to the program for next year. You know, people are probably going to want to ask about Dedon Thomas. You know, I hear some mixed things on whether or not it's realistic that he comes back, but he's announced that he's plans to enter the transfer portal, but I don't think that final decision has been made yet at this point. So hopefully, you know, we'll see kind of what Will Wade and kind of those conversations can lead to over the next several days. But you know, Thomas, Ron Zipper, Jalen Reed, Mozzie Mosley, I believe those are the only four at this time who have officially announced that they're going to enter the transfer portal. We'll certainly learn over the next week if there are any others out there. Michael Nwoko, Robert Miller, you know, there's a couple others out there. Matt Gilhool, those are all players that have not yet announced what they're going to do with their futures yet. But you know, I think LSU could have an opportunity to maybe convince one or two of those guys to stay as well. So we'll see. We'll keep an eye on that. But really, the main bulk of this work is going to come via the transfer portal here over the next couple of weeks. And I think LSU is going to have a lot of opportunities here to really build this thing up and build a roster that, you know, Will Wade thinks can win at a very high level. He talked in his press conference about wanting to bring in players that not only embraced, you know, what it means to play at LSU and what it means to play in Louisiana, but of course, you know, players that have, you know, toughness, they have grit, they have you know, commitment, they have, you know, a lot of these things, the, you know, discipline, tough competitors, you know, all these things that, you know, And I think probably positional versatility too is going to be something that he really looks for in the transfer portal. You know, he really found that, I think, at LSU his first go around, guys that could play multiple positions. You know, I think back on players like Tari Eason and, you know, Naz Reid, and you know, at the guard position, Skylar Mays was a guy that could really float around and guard probably one through three. Like, they have had players in his past here who have done a really nice job of adapting to what LSU needs from them. And I think a big part of this for Wade is going to be about finding those players and finding that kind of balance there with this roster. You know, we know from the SEC, this is a little bit of a different league than when Wade was last here. I mean, he finished in the top five of the conference, and I believe four of his 5 years. I mean, that very first year they were 10th, and made the NIT, but they went first, they went third, they went fifth, they went, you know, top five really over the next 4 years, and was able to, you know, consistently build a winner at the top of this conference. So I think that's where LSU aims to get to, but it's going to be a tough road because there are a lot of programs out there right now that are really pouring in a lot of investment into basketball. You know, you look at Alabama, you look at Arkansas, Kentucky, of course, Auburn, you know, Texas. You know, there's a lot of teams out there, Florida, that have really kind of stepped up with their, you know, their attention on basketball. And so I think LSU is going to be in a similar boat where, you know, if they can get kind of in that mid-range in terms of financial commitment to the roster, that Wade has proven over time that he can go find players and with that kind of resources and with those kinds of resources and build a winner at LSU. And so we'll see kind of what happens here with LSU in terms of the transfer portal. A couple guys that I think, you know, have not announced yet that they're entering the transfer portal, they could also be guys that decide to go to the draft, the NBA draft, but really elite top level players, if they were to enter the transfer portal, that I think you'd have to keep your eye on if they were to enter the portal. You know, one is going to be Santa Clara's Allen Graves. For those who don't know, Allen Graves is a freshman at Santa Clara this year, had a really nice season for them, helped lead them to the tournament, NCAA tournament, shot, I believe, close to 50% from the field, around 40% from three, and then was about an 83% free throw shooter as well. I mean, he's a guy that really, I think, makes a lot of sense for LSU. He's about 6'9". He's big. He's, you know, powerful. He's a guy that I think could help you on the glass. Certainly can score in a myriad of ways. And I think the connection here is his brother, Marshall Graves, played for Will Wade at LSU several years ago. Folks might remember Marshall as kind of one of the three-point specialists on some of those early teams that LSU had under Will Wade. And I think those two had a really, you know, strong connection, strong relationship as well. You know, Marshall Graves stayed with LSU throughout his entire collegiate career. And so that would be one to watch because, you know, Allen Graves is, you know, from Louisiana. He's from, I believe, the Baton Rouge area. And so you know, he's somebody that I think, you know, if he were to enter the transfer portal, would make a lot of sense for LSU. He's actually from Ponchatoula. I forgot about that. He's from, which is, of course, about 45 minutes away from Baton Rouge. So he's somebody that, you know, I think you have to watch if he enters the transfer portal. I think another guy that, you know, is a big swing, kind of big fish out there and that we still don't know the decision of yet is going to be Chris Senak, the, you know, powerful the forward slash center at Houston this last year, was a true freshman, former five-star, top 10 player in the country a year ago. LSU recruited him very hard for most of his recruitment there. He ultimately decides to go to Houston, and they have a very good year at Houston. I think he averaged close to 10 points and 8 rebounds and was a couple blocks and really started to, I think, find himself towards the end of his freshman campaign. You know, he didn't have the year that, you know, for example, AJ DeBonsa and Darren Peterson and, you know, some of these other guys that are maybe going to be, you know, top 5 to 10 picks in the draft that are freshmen in this past class. But he has a first round grade right now in the NBA draft. And so it's going to be something to watch, something to monitor, because if he falls kind of outside of that lottery range, then I think a return to school becomes a little bit more likely, because you can pay that kind of, you know, that kind of investment into a player like that. If he's, you know, for example, a top 25 player, but not a top 15 guy, you know, I think that's something that can really benefit him in terms of returning to school. He can, of course, decide to return to Houston, or he could go to LSU if he wants to, or enter the transfer portal and go somewhere else if he wants to. And I think if he were to do that, LSU would absolutely be a team that, you know, would be on, you know, that would be somewhere he would consider. And so we'll continue to monitor what happens with Cenac there. Again, I think, you know, its return to Houston is certainly in play. He could go to the draft if he wants to. He's a very talented player, 6'11", has great length, and has a nice shooting stroke too. Like, I think he has potential to be a much better shooter than he maybe showed this last year, but we'll see kind of what happens there. So those are just a couple of the big name players. Of course, LSU will be in the mix for a lot of different guys and from a lot of different places. And, you know, Will Wade went and grabbed Tari Eason when nobody really knew who Tari Eason was, and turned him into a first round pick. And, you know, he's done this before in the transfer portal. And I will say, like, the last time he was here, the transfer portal was really just starting to get going. We haven't really seen Will Wade outside of, you know, his time at NC State and what he was able to build at McNeese those 2 years. We haven't seen him in that, you know, right in the thick of that transfer portal here. I mean, like, he built a I would say a flawed but decent roster, a good enough roster at NC State last year to at least make the field of 68 and make a push in the tournament, make a push into the tournament. But they fell short there against Texas in that entrance game to get into the actual tournament. And so, you know, I think there's certainly some things that he can learn from this last year in terms of building a roster. And like I said, he talked a lot about finding guys with toughness, finding guys with position versatility, finding players that, you know, have grit and can play in the kind of style that he wants to play. And so I'll be very interested to see kind of what that looks like here after, you know, this next month is completed and we have an idea of what this roster is going to look like. And that kind of brings us into our final thing here, which is kind of the expectations of year one, right? Like, what should the expectations be for this program in year one for LSU? And, you know, quite honestly, it's something I've gone back and forth with. You know, until we have an idea of what this roster looks like, it's hard to, you know, really, you know, pigeonhole this group into a certain bracket or category. I will say, though, like, what Will Wade has done here over his career suggests that LSU should and is going to be aiming towards making a postseason push here. Like, for the 5 years that he was at LSU, LSU was in the tournament. The only time they didn't make it was that first year when they were kind of on the they weren't really on the bubble for a good portion of that season, but they won enough big games. They certainly made things interesting, I think, and they did play in a postseason. They played in the NIT that first year, and then the next 4 years they didn't finish anywhere lower than fifth in the conference. And so, you know, I think that they have a real opportunity here. You look at NC State, what they did last year, they barely snuck into that field of 68. They had a stretch there where they won about six straight conference games, and then they kind of had a little bit, they hit a little bit of a lull. I think they lost eight of their last nine or something like that. And so it you know, took them from a surefire tournament team to being right on that bubble, and they weren't able to make it. But and then NC State, he built two consistent NCAA tournament teams at NC State and did a really nice job of, you know, finding those I don't want to call it bottom of the barrel players because that's very disrespectful, but you know, those kind of players that maybe had been overlooked in some form or fashion at previous Power Four schools, and, you know, kind of found their way to McNeese, and he was able to build really strong teams and really strong connections with all those players as well. And so he's somebody that has shown that he can do it in a variety of ways. That was something else he talked about, is that there's not a whole ton of coaches out there when they've, you know, been flying on the chartered planes, been having the experience of coaching at an LSU or an NC State. It's kind of hard to go back down to the level of a McNeese, where, you know, you're staying in a La Quinta and you're eating the, you know, the Texas waffle for breakfast instead of, you know, a much nicer hotel and a much nicer breakfast at when you were, you know, coaching one of those big Power Four programs. And so he has some perspective on that now. And I think he has talked about how he is back here and he has come back more humbled. He's come back more just ready to, I think, produce for this state and for this program in particular that has really stuck by him ever since he left last time. I mean, even in the, like we mentioned here at the top, like at the very thick of this thing, he was at the very, thick of his first stint here. There was a lot of outside noise and a lot of people perceived him in a certain way. You could certainly make the argument that he was one of the, I guess, quote unquote, villains of college basketball during his first stint at LSU. And but the fan base really rallied behind him that first time. And I have no doubt that they'll do it the second time as well. And if he continues to produce winning teams and teams that can make it into the postseason and, you know, scratch their way into the second weekend of the tournament, third weekend of the tournament, if they get the right kind of team and the right kind of season, then, you know, I think that's something, that's all you can expect here at LSU, and that's what they have shown to be under Wade. They've been a consistent NCAA tournament team under him, and I think why a big decision that LSU wanted to make this happen was just, you know, getting back to that consistent winning and having a personality and a guy that, you know, really connected with the state, really connected with this fan base is a big reason why we sit here today with him as the next men's basketball coach. So, like I said, it'll be interesting to monitor all this stuff over the next four weeks or so. We'll have all the, you know, updates for you guys as we're hearing about them, and hope that you stick with us here as LSU builds their first roster here under Coach Will Wade and his second stint in Baton Rouge. It's going to be an exciting time. It's going to be a fun time, and we'll have all the updates for you. So appreciate you guys listening, and see you next time here on the Go 24/7 podcast.